You may be seated. Open your Bibles with me this morning to 2 John. 2 John, the little epistle of John right before 3 John and before the book of Revelation. We are ready for the Word this morning. Amen. We've been in the presence of God. And the presence of God prepares us to receive God's Word. I appreciate those who understand what worship is all about. You know, there's so many people that think worship is just a preliminary that you just do before the preacher gets up and preach to give you time to get into church. But I just, again, let me just tell you the truth this morning. If you'll come, the early bird catches the worm. We could say it this way, the early arrival catches the spirit. Amen. And when you get into spirit, then you can receive what the Spirit has to say. And it takes a little while. You know, it takes a little while to tune yourself into the frequency that the Holy Spirit is speaking on. You know, she was saying a while ago that she gets up early, and I'm up in my office, of course. When I come down to get ready, she has Christian TV playing for some reason. The one she was normally watching, I don't know, they were doing something else, and turned it on one program, and somebody was preaching. If I told you his name, everybody would know who it is. And then we turned it on another Word of Faith preacher. And I said, man, you just notice a difference between night and day. Somebody's telling people to go to Scripture and read the Bible and get in the Word of God. And somebody just gets up there and rambles on and on and on for I don't know how long and then doesn't say really much of anything, especially, you know, pointing people to the Word of God. And so I thank God this morning for the Word. Thank God for, you know, we identify with the Word of Faith. I used to call our church, you know, years ago, they would say, well, what kind of church you have? And I said, well, we're non-denominational or we're, you know, we're independent. But really, you don't identify with anything that way. And so now when they ask me, I say, well, Word of Faith. Word of Faith. I identify with the Word of Faith because it's the Word of Faith that we preach. Amen. And so this morning, I want to share something the Lord put in my heart to give to you. In 2 John chapter 8, it says, verse 8, are you there? 2 John, the little epistle of John. It says, look to yourselves. Everybody say, look to yourselves. Okay. That we do not lose those things that we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. He said, look to yourselves. Now, let me just tell you one other thing this morning. This message is not for somebody else, it's for you. When the Bible says, look to yourself, that means just like you'd look in the mirror to see how you look. How many know the Word of God is a mirror? And the mirror of the Word of God will show us how we look. So here's the Apostle John, the beloved Apostle John, the Apostle of Love, who was about 90 years old when he wrote this 2 John epistle, you know, isolated on that Isle of Patmos, burned in oil, and all the sufferings and things that he went through. And I found out this, when a person, you know, as a person gets older, they say more in less. They say more with less words than what it used to take them a lot of words to say very little. And so I think when I listen to somebody that's in wisdom and operating in that wisdom of God in their season, you know, I listen to what they have to say. Because generally what they have to say will be right to the point. I don't know if it's because they don't think they have a lot of time left or, you know, whatever it is. But when they speak in the wisdom of God, they say something. And so here's something I want you to see. It says, look to yourselves, okay? And then it says that we do not lose the things that we work for. Now, I don't know about you again, but I don't want to lose what I have gained in God. I count it a very special treasure of everything the Lord has given to me. And he's admonishing, he's telling us here that we have to be careful. We've got to look to ourselves, because apparently you can lose some things. Apparently, if you, you know, you don't stay in the Word of God, you do not stay in that flow, if you will, of the Holy Spirit moving in your life and on your life, apparently you can lose some things. And I don't want to lose anything, because it goes on to say that you can receive a full reward, or so that you may receive a full reward. Say full reward. Now that caught my attention, because if there's a full reward, then there must be a partial reward, or there could be even zero reward. Now we know that God is a God who rewards. We know that God said in his own word that those that diligently seek him, he is a rewarder to them. We also know that he identified himself, as we was talking about Abraham a while ago. He said, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Now, it's one thing for somebody to tell you, I'm here to reward you. It's another thing for God to appear and say, I'm your exceeding great reward. I believe God knows how to reward us. I believe God knows how, and we have to come back and say, well, wait a minute. I do understand, Pastor, that there is going to be rewards in heaven. And yes, there's going to be rewards in heaven. But let me remind you again of the scripture, because, and we won't have time to look at all these scriptures, but Psalms, for example, 58:11, you can just write it down, says the righteous will be rewarded in the earth. In other words, that tells me when I live upright and I follow God, then not only are those blessings going to be there, but God is going to reward me in this life. It's one thing to be rewarded in the next life, and I'm looking forward to that too. And I understand there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ where, you know, I'll have to denounce all the works and all the things that I did in the flesh so that I can receive, if you will, the rewards of heaven. But my Bible says that God wants to reward the righteous in the earth. And if he wants to reward the righteous in the earth, then I'm in line for the reward. But apparently, just by reading this, I have to look to myself that I do not lose those things. If you will, put that scripture back up there one more time. I don't lose those things that I might receive the reward in full measure, or the full reward. Are you with me, church? So I point this out to you because obviously the key word here is full. And if we look into the ministry, and I want to take you into some things here in Jesus' ministry, because all morning it seems like I've just been telling you we want to be more like Jesus. And I see that there is a common denominator here. There is something that is woven all the way through the ministry of Jesus. In fact, I can go back in the Old Testament even and find this common thread where people received a full reward. Some people didn't receive as much reward, and some received little or no reward. So having said that, I want you to turn back over to the book of, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 6. Are you with me? If there's some people in the Bible that received full reward from Jesus, and some got partial, and some got no, then it might help us, if you will, to find out what that key is so that we can receive a full reward. How many of you want to receive a full reward? How many of you want to receive a partial reward? How many of you want to not receive any reward? Well, no, I think everybody would like to receive everything that the Lord has. Amen. Well, let's look at this. In Mark's Gospel chapter 6, here we have Jesus coming back to his own hometown where he was raised up. where he helped his father in a business, a carpentry, a furniture building business. And everybody knew the family. And look what it says in verse, let's start at verse 5. It says, now he, talking about Jesus, could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and he healed them. There's some translations say he could do no mighty work there except for heal a few people of colds and sore throats. Now, how many know that God is able to heal any kind of sickness, any kind of infirmity, any kind of disease, any kind of weakness, anything that the devil uses to destroy us either physically or mentally? God and the power of God is able to heal. And so something here came to my attention. It says that he could do no mighty works. He could do no mighty works. Not that he wouldn't do mighty works, because if he wouldn't do them, then it involved his will. But it said he couldn't do mighty works. Or in other words, something was restraining Jesus from doing what God called him to do and the work or the power of God. The Amplified Bible says he was not able to even do one work of power. So what was restraining, what was, if you will, limiting the power of God in those people's lives? Well, the answer, you have to back up to verse 3 and 4. And here we find out, he said, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are there not his sisters here with us? So that they were what? What? Come on, are you reading this with me? They were offended. That's why you need to bring your Bible to church, okay? They were what? They were offended because they allowed a spirit of familiarity. They said, hey, I know that guy. I mean, I went to school with him. He made our coffee table. You know, he made our crib. He put the patio on our roof. They had a familiar understanding of their image of who they thought God was. And if you read on there, it says, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor. Everybody say honor. And underline that, because that's really what we're talking about this morning. Except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Now, you have to understand, Jesus came back into his home country. They immediately recognized and knew what he or who he was. Now, in all the other cities, in all the other places that he had been, what was he doing? He was working miracles. He was opening blind eyes. He was causing the deaf to hear. He was causing the lame to walk. He was working the power of God throughout the land. But when he came back to this city, the Bible says there he could do no mighty work. Are you with me so far? And when he came in, he went to the, because it was a Sabbath day, and you can read about the account in Luke's gospel. He went into the synagogue, and there was given to him a scripture. Now, nothing out of the ordinary yet. Maybe they thought, well, why is this young guy taking the scripture when the scribes or the priest or the elders should be reading? And Jesus opened up the scroll and began to read the out of the book of Isaiah. Now listen, which was a very familiar passage of scripture. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. And he went on and he began to tell them what God had sent him to do. And so there was nothing really out of the ordinary yet until he got ready to close the scroll and sat down, and he made this statement. And this is really what offended him. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Man, that dropped a bombshell. Who is he? He's a carpenter's son. We know him. And he's telling us that he is the Messiah. See, when you read Isaiah to a Jewish person, That is like in the scripture, especially Isaiah 61, because it's a prophetic scripture referring to the Messiah. It'd be like you coming in here, maybe not knowing much of the Bible at all, but you probably heard the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. How many have heard that prayer? So it would be a very familiar passage of scripture to you, just like it was a very familiar passage of scripture to those that were in the synagogue that day, all the family, all the relatives, all the friends. But when he made that statement this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. It threw them for a loop. You know why? Because they had an idea. They had an understanding or a picture in their mind what God should look like. How many know God does not always look like what we think he looks like? And God will bring a package to us that is intended to help us, to heal us, to make us whole, but we're not always ready to receive the package or the gift that God is giving to us because it doesn't fit our criteria, or it's not like our religion. They got offended because it's not the way we do it. It's not our religion. It's not the way that we have done this in the past. Who is this guy to do this? And then he tells them in verse 5, now here's the key, because this is really what we're talking about. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. In other words, because they did not honor, listen to me, they did not honor Jesus as being sent from God, it withheld the power of God in their lives, and there was no mighty work of God done in their presence because they did not honor God. Now listen to me, because I'm trying to show you something. If you want to receive a full reward in this life, you're going to have to look at yourself this morning, and you're going to have to determine if you're walking in honor, because God rewards honor. Some of you probably don't have a full concept of what it means to honor. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God rewards honor. And if you see this all through the Bible, you'll find out those that received a full reward are those that honored God, and those that didn't receive from God are those that dishonored God. Now let's look at this word honor to help you this morning, because it comes from the Greek word time, or we would pronounce it in English time, T-I-M-E, but it's pronounced time, okay? But here's the little literal definition of honor. In the original language, it means a valuing. It means something that is valuable, something that is important, something that is precious, something that is as expensive as the most expensive thing that you could buy. Now, how many know if you got something made of gold, you just don't throw it around? You put it in a special place. You put it in safekeeping. Are you with me? So it holds, if you will, a place of honor with you. Another definition of honor is to appreciate, or appreciation, to esteem, a favorable regard or respect. Now the negative counterpart, you might want to write this down too, the negative counterpart of honor would be dishonor, optime. In other words, to treat, and this is what I want you to write down, to treat as common. To treat as a common thing. You know, a lot of people treat even coming to church as a common thing. And when you treat something as a common thing, then in the eyes of God, you are dishonoring it. Another definition of honor, or I guess if you really study this out, it's when you come to a place where you don't show respect or you don't show it worth its value. The the action, or let me put it this way, honor can be displayed in action. It can be displayed in words. And listen to this, it can even be displayed in our thoughts. Jesus knows how to read your thoughts. Okay? But all honor originates from our heart. Now, you will be challenged today to like everybody. You'll be challenged today to honor everybody. But you know what? If it doesn't come out of your heart, you're going to find out that you're going to lose that, and you'll begin to get back over into dishonor. Now, we're talking about receiving a full reward from the Lord. You want a few more things here? Are you with me? All right. Isaiah, here's what Isaiah 29:13. Just put it up there. The Lord said, "Insomuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear or their reverence towards me is taught by the precepts or the commandments of men." In other words, God is saying to them that true honor has to originate from the heart, because it's an outflow of the fear of the Lord. How many of you understand what the fear of the Lord is? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's respect and esteeming God for who He is. And when we don't do that, then we're showing dishonor, okay? And it's kind of like people, you know, that you meet or have met, and they say good things in front of you. They're kind or they're nice to you in your presence, but then you find out later, after you have turned your back on them, they stabbed you. That's what God is talking about. See, there's a lot of people that play a good role when they're in somebody's presence, but they're another way when they're not. And how many know that is not honor? I said that is not honor. That is not esteeming something highly, but it's treating something as a common thing, because honor has to originate out of our hearts. Now let's look over in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke. And turn over to Luke chapter 5. Let me show you something. The whole idea, the whole thing I wanted you to see is that Jesus could do no mighty work there except heal just a few minor ailments in his hometown because of one thing, and one thing was they did not honor him being sent by God. Are you with me, church? Okay. It's okay to say amen every once in a while. Luke chapter 5, if you'll turn over there, and let's look at verse 17, because here's another place that we see where there was an opportunity to honor God. And when you honor God, then God rewards. Amen? Luke chapter 5 and verse, let's look at verse 17. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day that he was teaching, and there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." Did you see that? Jesus was having a large meeting. People were coming from all over to hear Jesus preach and teach the Word of God. It says the house was filled with, if you will, the scribes, the elders, the teachers, and so on and so forth, the rabbis. And it said, did you catch that? It said that the power of the Lord was present there to heal them. Apparently, there was some of them, I'm talking about the religious folks, I'm talking about the elders or the scribes, the leaders. There was some of them that needed healing. Now, usually when you get a group of people together, somebody needs healing. Somebody needs a power touch from God. Somebody needs to get delivered. Somebody needs to get set free. Are you with me? Okay. So I wanted you to make sure you see that. It said that the that the presence to heal them. And how many know that God never wastes anything? God doesn't make junk, right? When he multiplied the fishes and loaves, they had it left over. So God is not going to waste his time, and he's not going to waste your time. When we come together, God has something on the agenda. I'm talking about his agenda that he wants to do. Now let's read on here. Let's look, because here's this house. Jesus is preaching. The power of God is present to heal them, but them didn't get anything. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith. Now what happened was that these friends said, we need to get into this place where Jesus is preaching. They couldn't get in because it was filled with the religious people. So they had to find another way to get in. And you probably have read the story where they climb up on the roof and they open the tile and they lower their friend down so that Jesus can heal him. And here's what Jesus said. He said, when he saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying. Now, what did we say? Honor can be displayed in thoughts as well as words, as well as actions. Jesus perceived their thoughts. He perceived their reasoning. Who is this, they said, that speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Say dishonor. I'm trying to show you a pattern here of what causes you to receive a reward and what causes you not to receive a reward. And when Jesus perceived their thoughts, look at verse 22, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is it easier to say, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. And he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and walk. In other words, the men that came in faith and they were honoring Jesus for who he said he was are the ones that received from God the miracle that they needed. And in verse 26, it says, and they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. In other words, they received from God because of their honor for God. The ones that dishonored God didn't receive anything from God, even though the power of God was present there to heal them. Are you with me, church? All right, now go over to Matthew. I'm just trying to build your faith here. Honor, dishonor. Honor, dishonor. Go back to Matthew's gospel, Matthew chapter 8, and look at verse 5. All these are pretty familiar, but I want you to see something here. This common denominator of how honoring God brings you into the place of receiving your full reward. All right, look at Matthew chapter 8, verse 5. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion, a Roman soldier, came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. How many know he needed a touch from God? How many know he needed a healing? Okay. It says, and Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. That's what Jesus said. This centurion came to Jesus. He had a need, not for himself. He was actually interceding for someone else. And Jesus said, that's not a problem. I'll come and heal him. But look what happened here. Verse 8. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. But you speak a word and my servant will be healed. But now look at verse 9, because it explains here that this man understood authority. He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, see, you can display honor in words, you can display them in action, and you can display them in thought. Now, when Jesus heard it, he marveled. I tell you, when I read in my Bible that Jesus marveled, it gets my attention. Because when Jesus marveled, that means an action of somebody got his attention. It says, now look at this. He said, and I said to those who follow, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith in even in Israel. Now, whoa, stop there just a moment. He said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel. Do you realize what Jesus just said? Do you realize that he said this Roman centurion who showed Jesus honor because he respected and esteemed the authority that was in Jesus because he understood authority. And Jesus said, I have not seen such great faith in all of Israel. Now, he just made a statement that the faith that this centurion had was greater than John the Baptist, was greater than his mother Mary. Now, we're faith people. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I'm not a betting person, but if I was, I would bet you that that Roman centurion had heard less scripture than John the Baptist heard. But yet, Jesus called this man's faith great. And hey, we know that we need faith, because without faith, what? It's impossible to please God. I'm just telling you that Jesus marveled, and this man received a full reward because of one thing in his life, and that was that he honored God. When you honor, then you receive. Are you with me, church? Now, here's another one. Mark chapter 7. I'm just taking you through some things here to show you this pattern. This is this Greek woman or this Syrophoenician woman that came to Jesus. I could just tell you all these stories, but I really want you to see these, because I know we have new people and they need to see these things. But I'm just trying to show you the pattern that's all the way through the Bible in this ability to receive your full reward from God. It's going to come when you honor God. Now, Mark chapter 7, and let's begin at verse 26. It says, a woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth. In other words, she was not a Jew. Okay, she was not from Israel. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she kept asking him. Now, just make a little note there. She kept asking him. You got to really, and we don't have time, you really need to go back and read all the accounts in the other gospel about this little story here. But really, what you see is that not only was she begging, but Jesus was not responding to her. Now, let me just stop here and say this, because a lot of people don't understand this point. You know, just because Jesus doesn't respond to you immediately does not mean that Jesus has not heard you. This is insinuating, if you will, not only was she begging Jesus to come and to heal her daughter, she was getting the idea in her thought that Jesus was ignoring her. Now, you know, when people get ignored, generally they get mad. I know you're not like that. But generally, when you ask somebody to do something and they don't do it, you get upset. I had to test my wife this morning, and she passed the test. See, I knew what I was going to preach. She didn't. No, I didn't do it for that reason. But listen to me. We all have opportunity to get offended, don't we? If we get offended, what are we going to do? We're going to limit our ability to receive the full reward. Okay? Well, let's read on here. It says, and Jesus said to her, verse 27, let the children be filled first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Now, essentially, that's what He's calling her a dog, okay? And he has done everything he can do to really either get her in faith or out of faith. Jesus knows how to pull faith out of somebody. Jesus doesn't do anything to offend anybody. Now, good thing, she was not in an American church, because she would have rose up and said, "Hey, this man is prejudiced. She's a Greek. He's a Jew. He don't like Greeks. Or there's no crowds here right now, and he don't have a show going on, so he's putting me off into the corner somewhere." But she didn't do that, did she? I said she didn't do that, did she? She honored the man of God. She honored Jesus for who he was. And if you keep on reading this, she said to him in verse 28, "Yeah, Lord, but even the little dogs on the table eat from the children's crumbs." And then he said to her, "For this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter." I'm just trying to point out some things to you here. When you honor God and don't allow yourself to have a familiarity like, "Well, I know that, I know him," but stay humble and stay in honor to God, then God will reward you with a full reward. God, if you will, rewards honor. Are you with me, church? All right. So, the full reward. I believe she got a full reward. The point is this. You'll see this all the way through the Bible. And we could go through a lot more things here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. And let me just kind of hurry these last couple of things here, because I want you to see this right up to the crucifixion. There was this sinful woman, Matthew chapter 26 and verse, let's just back up to verse 7 here. It says, "A woman came to him having an alabaster flax, a very costly," say costly, "a very costly," and if you do your research here, you'll find out this little flask of oil would be worth today about $30,000 in value. "And she poured it on his head and set at the table. But when the disciples saw it," they were what? Indignant. They got mad, saying, "Why this waste?" You know, $30,000, Jesus, why are you letting her waste that on you? We could use that money. We could sell that oil, and we could give it to the orphanage. We could feed a lot more people. Jesus, don't you understand? They became offended, or they become indignant, because this sinful woman decided that she would honor, come on somebody, she would honor the Lord with this costly bottle of perfume. And you want to read on, but we don't have time, but look down at verse 13. Because Jesus said that she did this for me. She did this for my burial. He was fixing to go to the cross. And verse 13 says, Jesus speaking, your Bible in red. Okay, "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will also hold as a memorial to her." Did you see that? Because she honored God, Jesus said, what this lady has done, what this sinful woman has done in honoring me, it will be a memorial. It will be a testimony. You will talk about this throughout time. Can you imagine 2,000-something years later, we're talking about a sinful woman that spent $30,000 bottle of oil wiping the feet and the head of Jesus with her hair, and we're still talking about it today. That was a memorial to her that will be from everlasting to everlasting. I would say that is a reward from God. I would say it is a full reward. Are you listening to this? Because of one thing, she honored God. 1 week before the crucifixion, just listen, put up, if you will, Luke 13:35. It says, if you say, He says, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's Luke 13:35. In other words, Jesus was telling them, I'm leaving the earth and you will not see me again, but you will honor the one that I will send. John 13:20 says, listen to this, most assuredly I say to you, he who receives, and you can replace the word receive with honor, because they are virtually the same word. In other words, I say to you, he who honors whomever I send honors me, and he who honors me honors him who sent me. Did you see that? And then here's a principle, or here's a law. You might want to take note of this. It is the principle or a spiritual law in 1 Samuel 2:30 that basically says this, for those who honor me, I will honor. And he goes on to say, and those who despise or dishonor me shall I lightly despise. In other words, when we honor God, God honors us. When we dishonor God, then God dishonors us. When we honor the one that God has sent, then we honor God. When we honor God, then we operate and put ourselves in position for a full reward. And then let me go to one more, and we'll probably just have to pick it up here next time. But I want to show you this, especially today as we're going to take communion here in just a minute. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Are y'all receiving something from this? I'm just setting a pattern for you. I hadn't even got to the really to the meat of what I want to talk about, but we'll get there. Look at this. In verse 40 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. Jesus speaking again. He said, he who receives you receives me. Or you could say honor. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. Okay? So we just read virtually the same scripture. It says, verse 41, he who honors or he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. Now that's talking about spiritual authority. That's talking about church authority, okay? And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive what? A righteous man's reward. How many of you want to receive a righteous man's reward? Okay, verse 42 says, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall be in no means or by no means lose his reward. So we're talking about being rewarded and we're talking about losing our reward. And it comes out of the fact that we learn how to display honor in our life towards those who have been sent by God. Jesus is saying something here that I don't know if you realize, but really he's talking about three levels of humanity that anybody that you meet in this earth will fall under one of those three levels. One of those levels is what we call those that are above us. You know, leaders, pastors, or kings or people that are over us in authority. And then the second level that you will meet, every human being will possess one of these, is what we call those who are on our same level or those who are our peers. And then the third level of authority is talking about the little ones here are those that we are entrusted authority, those that we have authority over. But do you know, in every one of those situations, in every one of those levels of authority, you are to honor? And we'll talk about this a little more, because this is really, I believe, an aspect of why we see, maybe even in our nation, for example, the Bible teaches us that we are to honor those that are in authority. We are to honor, and there's levels of that, by the way. One level would be civil authority. Did you know we're supposed to honor civil authority? No, you didn't know it because nobody said amen, I think. But the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 13 that we're to honor those that are in authority because those authorities are of God. Now, we have a, you know, our attitude in America is, you know, if somebody's in a political office, we tell them, well, you're going to have to gain our respect. But do you realize that is not scriptural? You mean we have to honor even the bad ones? Yeah, according to scripture. Because if we're not honor, we're in dishonor. And if we're in dishonor, we're losing our reward. Mm-hmm. See, that's why we have to get our mind renewed with the Word of God. When he's talking about little ones there, you know, he's not necessarily talking about children. You don't see children there. He's talking about ones that you have authority over there. Now, it could include children because, I mean, no, parents have authority over their children. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, children, obey your parents or honor your parents. Because it is the first commandment with promise. Now, you need to tell your children this. When your children disrespect and dishonor you, then they are bringing curse to their life. But you know what, parents? You need to show honor to your children. Because honor has to come from our hearts. Husbands, you're supposed to honor your wife as the weaker vessel. What does that mean? That just means she can't bench press as much as a man. But you are to honor her. And I'm appalled at the way some men speak to their wives. I'm appalled at the way some parents speak at their children. And then we wonder why we're not operating and receiving a full reward from God. Are y'all with me? There's a whole bunch to this honor stuff that we have not seen in the Word of God because we haven't taken the time to renew our minds to it. And you know, we don't honor just to receive the reward. We honor because we see the value of people. We honor because we esteem something, just like if we're going to esteem or honor those that are above us, you know, in spiritual authority. Some people have very little respect for spiritual authority. They have no real understanding of what it means to receive somebody that has been sent by God. And I showed you examples. When they didn't receive somebody sent by God, they didn't receive the reward. Jesus said, you honor me by receiving somebody that I have sent. When you receive them, then you receive me, or you honor me when you honor them. I could go on and on. You've got, you know, the civil authority. You got all this authority, but it all comes from God. Every authority, even that guy that got you on radar for 20 miles over, that authority came from God. Mm-hmm. But you know, the Bible says all authority came from God. It didn't say all authority was godly. And you see, that's where we throw up the wall. Well, you don't know what he is. We can't get beyond character and get over into the aspect of respecting that office being of God. Whether it's spiritual or whether it's something in the natural or the physical or the civil. Maybe it's a coach. Maybe it's a teacher. There's very little respect for teachers in our country. And then we wonder why our schools are in the shape that they are. You parents, let your children watch movies that all they do is show disrespect to their parents. And at the end of the movie, I'm talking about G-rated or PG movies, at the end of the movie, the children wind up getting rewarded. Why do you let your children watch even that? Well, because you haven't understood this principle of honor. Do you realize God gave the Ten Commandments? I'm trying to quit here, but I'm just going to tell you something. God gave how many commandments? 10. The first four of those commandments deal with our relationship with God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Thou shalt worship thy God, the Lord thy God. And those first four. The last six deal with our relationship to one another. How many would say adultery is bad? How many would say murder is bad? How many would say stealing from your neighbor is bad? Coveting your neighbor's wife is bad. Did you know those are 7, 8, 9, 10 on the list? Do you know what number 5 is? Somebody said it. Honor what? Thy mother and father. So that means in God's sight, honoring the mother and father is a higher priority than somebody committing murder or adultery. Hello, somebody. I'm telling you that we don't just, and you're going to be challenged because you're going to treat people different when you start honoring people. Now, there's some people you can't stand, but you're going to have to honor them as a human being made in the image of God. Amen? You're going to have to get beyond just character, because all honor originates out of the heart, out of the flow of this fear for God. When I operate in the honor, then God will see to it that I get a full reward. Did you get something? Did you get something? Come on, somebody praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to bow your head just a moment before we pass out the communion today. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you today, Jesus. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. See, you will be tempted to get along with people for a while. But you know what? If this honor doesn't come out of your heart, that person will undoubtedly let you down. I'm amazed how people just let people take them out of the race. How many know our Christian walk is a walk of endurance? Jesus said, those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. We're in a race. We're not in a, we're not even in an Indianapolis 500. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is just a race to the end of time. So I want you, while your head's bowed, your eye closed today,